Just administrative remarks here. I have started the transcription recording as we get ready for this afternoon's meeting, so you should have all gotten a notification on your screen. And John, we do have a quorum.
Excellent, Sherry. Thank you so very much. At this time, I would like to call the user council meeting to order, and we could start with the roll call. Sherry?
Okay, on the telephone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Mr. Henry Cole, Mr. John Rockwell, Mr. John Kruna, Mr. Pete Rogel, Master Sergeant Zach Murdiff, Mr. Scott Nelson, Deputy Chief Keith Berrien, Mr. Bobby Carter, Mr. Rob Reddington, Mr. Eli Barry Garland, Ms. Naomi Ulrich, and Master Sergeant Joe Rodriguez. Is there anybody else on the phone whose name I have not called?
Good afternoon. This is Carl Edwards with Department of Health.
Thank you, Carl.
Good afternoon. This is Zach with Motorola.
Thank you, Zach. Anybody else on the phone whose name was not called or did not introduce themselves? Okay, present in Anchorage. At the moment, I have Mr. Paul Fussy, Mr. Tony Natchik. Is there anybody else in Anchorage?
David Reed, Scott Stormo,
Nick Banastock.
Hey, John, that does complete the roll call.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to the meeting. The first agenda item is the review and approval of the February meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody had a chance to look over those. Are there any questions, comments, revisions at this time? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the February meeting minutes.
This will be Henry Cole. I'll move to approve the minutes.
Thank you, sir. And may I have a second?
This is Scott. I second them.
Thank you, gentlemen. Again, are there any updates or questions before I consider the meeting minutes approved? At this time, we'll approve the meeting minutes for the February meeting. And we can move on to the review of the issues and risk log. Sherry, are there any updates to the issues and risk log since the February meeting? And Sherry, if you're speaking, your mic is
Mute. Yep, I was muted and I was speaking. Yeah, the only update is the Birchill Master Site power issue has been repaired. I don't have the exact date on that, and I have requested that from Mr. Williams at U.S. Army.
Thank you again, Sherry. And we can move on to the action item list. Are there any updates from the action item since the last meeting? I think there's only one.
It remains the same.
Thank you again. So we can move on to the Operations Management Office overview, and I'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Paul Fussy. Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. So as we start going through here, let's start with our training as always. So I attended the PCO training on signal boosters for in-building radio coverage on February 26th, and really good information on there. And when I did send out the slide decks to individuals have been looking to have BDAs put into their building. Mr. Nelson has created a new training video. It's radio usage and transmission protocols, and it's now posted on our website. So looking at outreach. So we had a really good meeting with Customs and Border Patrol on February 22nd on becoming ALMR members. We discussed the approved radios, possible airtime costs, coverage maps, and then they're going to get back with us on that one. It was due to losing a lease on one of their tower sites. If they're looking at ALMR and interoperability and how they would be able to use the system. On the February document reviews, kind of a light month. So we had strategic and operational plan. And then we also received the final signature for the SLA on February 27th. And that is now posted onto our website. So when we start looking at our metrics, and I have a lot of discussion points as we go through there, and I just want to remind everyone that there was a large operation military exercise from February 8th to February 22nd up by the Fort Greely area, and that put an additional 10,000 people into that area. So when we start going into the metrics, we'll discuss that in further detail. So looking at our individual calls, so we're at 1,441,872. Down just a little bit, start looking at our monthly push-to-talks, though. Push-to-talks did go up. We were at 2,366,963. This is a disconcerting slide that we'll talk about here in detail, and this is attributed to that large exercise. So when we start looking at the busies, we're at 2,068. And to break it down even further, we looked at the towers that were having the most busies. And of course, they were near the Fort Greely area. Donnelly Dome had 1,011. Nanana had 311. Fort Greely had 249. Birch Hill had 143. So we started pulling the data from there and looking at what was going on. So several things that we noticed. One, obviously Donnelly Dome and the Fort Greely area was getting inundated with immense radio traffic. Also, there were the radio traffic seemed to last quite a while. We were watching and we had some radio traffic calls that were lasting up to 45 seconds, almost a minute. That's a long time to take up a single channel on there. When we start looking at it, the military exercise from 8th to 2nd, February 8th to 22nd, the total affiliated talk groups from January was 779,552. However, for February, we had 811,362. So that was an increase of over 31,000 talk groups in 1 month alone. So the reason I'm going into a lot of detail, want to make sure everybody understands what was going on and why that number shot up precipitously. But with that larger amount of talk groups and push-to-talks, you can see we are still only at 0.008%. Now I'd like to open it up to the floor to any questions or discussion before I go further. Hearing none, Paul? Mr. Chair, I'd like to proceed. Yep. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Paul, this is John. Yes. How many, what size as far as a Domley Dome, how many, I'm sorry for stuttering here, as far as the site, how many controllers are on that site?
It's a four-channel site.
A four-channel site. So it's one of the smaller sites as well.
That is correct, okay. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir.
Now, keep in mind, four channel, but with one control channel, we're down to three. Hearing no further questions, Mr. Chair, I'd like to proceed.
You've got a question from Kyle.
Hey, good afternoon, Kyle Green here. Could you remind me, who owns the Donnelly Dome site? Is that a Fed resource or a state resource?
Mr. Green, that is a federal site.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions before I continue? I want to make sure everyone has any of the questions or concerns answered before I move forward.
I do have one more, if I could.
Go ahead, Mr. Green.
Those busies are directly because of the site's ability to handle those calls. There was no impact with the microwave work that was going on, or is that? Am I off? Am I thinking of timing for that?
Completely separate, Mr. Green. This was just the radio traffic itself, not the microwave backhaul.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
And thank you, Paul, for describing that for us.
No problem, Mr. Chair. Hearing anything else, I will move forward. So sites below 3.9s, we did go up a little bit from January when it went from 3 to 5. And the sites we had Esther Dome and Pega Road were PMI, and Hill 3265, Pole Hill, and Quarry Hill. This is what Mr. Green was asking about. That's where the microwave hop upgrade was incomplete. It was being worked on.
It's not being worked on yet. It's the hop between Quarry Hill and Birch Hill that is not done yet. So the old microwave hop in there has been failing. It's rerouting on some other DOD circuits down to the state site up on up the highway to the master site now. So it's on a temporary path.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Stormo. I'll update my notes. I apologize to the group for the wrong information. Our subscriber counts were up 26,007 for the month. So as we go into our other category, the quarterly zone control rollover took place Sherry, did you lose my screen?
No, I still see the agenda.
Okay. All right, my computer just flashed for a second.
Yeah, it scrolled back up to the top. So you're on, it looks like the previous meeting minutes. Okay, there, sites below 3.9. Okay, now you're back at the agenda.
Okay, thank you, Sherry. Mm-hmm. So I'll just reiterate, the quarterly zone control rollover took place February 27th and 28th with no problems on there. I did attend the APIT meeting on February 15th, and the Genesis system completed upgrades and system inspection for the software that was completed today. Also, I did conduct a walkthrough of Zone 1 master site to check for fire protection compliance. I put in requests to the State Fire Marshal's office, and they came over, took a look. They'll have a report back to me sometime next week. And the cyber group for Alaska, it's meeting on March 21st. And if you want to be a part of that, Mr. Richter would be the point of contact for that meeting. And at the end of the month coming up here, individuals from APSDF, the OMO, and the SMO, we're scheduled to attend the IWC conference in the last week of March. So we're going there, and then I'll do a report on that and get it into the newsletter. One last thing for my notes, and this is more for the user council themselves. On March 5th, GCI conducted an upgrade to their circuits. However, we didn't get advance notice when they were going to start on their work. And we like to let the dispatch centers know when that's going to be going on. Similar to when we do our quarterly zone control rollover, we let the dispatch centers know in case there's any issues. Unfortunately, dispatch centers didn't know, they weren't contacted because we didn't know that GCI was going to be starting their work. This work that GCI was doing caused all of Kodiak and Southeast Towers to go down for a while. So we had to scramble and contact the dispatch centers and let them know what was going on. So a recommendation that I have for the user council is possibly forwarding this issue to the executive council. And this isn't the first time this has happened, and it is a major safety issue for our members out there, especially the troopers or law enforcement or fire department had an ongoing emergency. So that completes my report, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate the report. And as an add-on note, I would like to thank you and your team for the website. As some of you know, I have a new boss, Director Lisa Purrington, and she has been utilizing the training sessions and the website to become more familiar with the Alaska Land Mobile Radio System and the division under her with APSCS. So again, thank you for all the work that you've been doing on that. And at this time, we'd like to open up the floor for questions for Mr. Fuzzy. Hearing no questions, we can move on to the next agenda item, which is the System Management Office overview. And I turn it over to Mr. Nick Vanstock. Nick?
Thank you, John. So to reiterate kind of what Paul's already said, you know, dealing with the radio etiquette, those times, it was on numerous occasions that we saw the times go up there. So if you happen to notice someone on the radio and they seem like they're talking for a long time, gently remind them, you know, keep it simple, you know, say what you're trying to say, nothing more, nothing less. Outside of that, as we start to end the winter time frame, my guys have started now to get back into the PMI role. You'll start to see those start popping up more and more. Currently, they're out right now doing the PMI sites. They finished up Atwood and Fire Station 12 already. I believe they're at Portage today. They've got a couple more this week and the following weeks to come. Outside of that, I don't think I have anything else unless people have any questions.
Thank you, Nick. Are there any questions for Nick? Moving on to the next agenda item, which is the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. And we can start with State of Alaska with Mr. Scott Stormo. Scott.
Good afternoon. As the weather starts warming up, we're going to be doing a lot of work at the sites as well, but we're getting an early start because we've got to change some microwaves out on the Parks Highway, so that may cause brief outages as traffic reroutes. It shouldn't necessarily take the whole site down because we've got paths going in both directions with a few possible exceptions where sites are on a spur and don't have two paths out of them. That work we've got to get done kind of this month because the railroad trains are going to start running again, and they don't like outages when the trains are moving because it makes trains slow to a crawl because of the positive train control system. No update on FedRAMP approval. And not really much update on the progress of the ongoing upgrade. The Juniper routers are supposed to be arriving and being installed throughout the summer, which would result in the cutovers to TDMA. But I don't think there's any firm dates yet to give on that. So when we get closer to having good information on that, we'll be passing that out. Because as an example that was discussed earlier, that like down the Dome site, the DOD is also upgrading the TDMA. That site would have, instead of three voice channels, it would have the equivalent of
six voice channels. If all the subscribers involved are also TDMA, which, as we've discussed multiple times, is not the case at this point in time either. So that's part of the push to not only get off of the radios that, you know, if you're using an XDS-5000, it end of sale was in 2013 and end of support was in 2018. So they have gone, you know, a decade past when you could last buy one. That's a lot of use out of the money spent on those, but way more than we should be using them. That's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Thank you very much, Scott. So thank you for the reminder that it's time to upgrade to our TDMA from our older FDMA radio. And if you recall the date that we set to try to be 100% TDMA is December 31st of 2026. And that's coming up quicker than we realize, especially with the budget cycles that we all have in front of us. The other issue, Scott, you brought up was the FedRAMP approval. Could you go into more detail of what we're actually asking for that? Just remind us in the meeting.
Motorola has been working with, it's a GSA office out of the federal government that runs the FedRAMP program, and they've been working with them for several years now to get their cloud services approved through the FedRAMP process, which will allow us to have a connection to the Motorola cloud, which in our instance will support our location on push to talk and our smart connect, which is what will allow properly provisioned and programmed radios to do either Wi-Fi connectivity to build a talk on the radio system or LTE connectivity to talk on the system. And again, just some examples, some obvious examples of that would work as you go into a place in Alaska that has that cell service. It's generally at this point Verizon or AT&T, where there's not an ALMR site, you can roam onto that LTE network and talk on ALMR. The other example could be if you're in a trooper post that doesn't have good coverage inside the building, but you've got Wi-Fi access in there, you could have your radio program to use that Wi-Fi to be able to get into the system as well. And just one other thing that just made me remind of, if you are a state of Alaska agency, work with our shop on, you know, getting quotes for radios or parts and materials or repairs to them. So just make sure you're working with us so we can help consolidate all that to make sure you're getting the right feature sets as required and you're getting the right programming done, and we're consolidating purchases to get as good a deal as we can for everybody.
All right. Thank you very much, Scott. Are there any questions for Scott? Hearing none, I did not hear if Mr. Tim Woodall was online. Tim, are you here? Are you in the meeting? Hearing none, we can move on to the User Council Representative updates. And we could start with the State of Alaska component with DOT. Any updates from DOT?
This is Henry Cole. No, I have nothing to add at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. DPS? I don't know if Lieutenant Andres is on. And I have no further updates either. Moving to all others, Mr. Nelson or Mr. Edwards.
Oh, this is Scott. I have no new updates.
Thank you, Scott.
This is Carl. I have nothing to add.
Okay. Thank you, Carl. And as far as the DOD component, we can start with anybody from U.S. Army installations. How about J-Bear?
Nothing for J-Bear.
Thank you, gentlemen. Or Eielson?
Nothing from Eielson.
Thank you, sir. We can move to the federal non-DOD component. We can start with DOJ or DOI or any all others.
This is Rob Reddington from DOI. We have nothing.
Thank you very much, sir. And the municipal component, I know that Ms. Tammy Goje-Cockrell is not joining us today, and also Mr. Jim Goodman called me up and said he's super busy and was unable to meet us. But we can move to North. Anything from North? Mr. Green?
Yeah, for Kyle, Municipalities North, nothing new to report.
Thank you, Kyle. I appreciate it. And Southeast is Lieutenant Calvara online.
She's out of state, John.
Thank you very much. At that point, I want to open up the floor for new business.
Mr. Kyle, Chair, first,
yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, if I could, Bruce Richter from Department of Homeland Security, CISA. I just wanted to thank Sherry and Paul for posting the upcoming free, no-cost Alaska Cybersecurity Conference information on the ALMR website. It'll be on June 5th at the Egan Center with also a virtual option. So thank you for sharing that information.
Thank you very much, Bruce, for all that you do from CISA. And since you're online, are there any questions for Bruce? He's a wealth of knowledge. And as I said before, if you don't have him on your speed dial, you should. How about other new business or even questions or comments?
Mr. Chair, Kyle Green here.
Yes, Kyle.
Question for Mr. Fussy, if I'm able.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Fussy, you mentioned the user council could make a motion to inform the executive council about the safety concerns regarding the GCI outage. I'm willing to do that since we don't have representation here from Southeast. I think that is of concern. Could you help me understand what actions the executive council would be taking with such motion from the user council?
Through the chair, Mr. Green, my concern is with the GCI circuit, we have a lot of issues coming up for safety. So I was thinking that if the user council can make a motion or at least bring up to the executive council what is going on, that they could write a letter or something to GCI to let them know that the grave dangers of having all the towers go down and dispatch centers not being able to talk to anyone. So when all the towers went down with the GCI circuit, if there's a firefighter or trooper down in Southeast or Kodiak trying to contact their dispatch center, the dispatch center wouldn't know that that connection was down looking at their consulate. So that's where I'm looking at something a little strongly worded to GCI to let them know what could happen.
And thank you, Mr. Fussy. And would that action from the executive council encourage better communications with the LMR operations office to assure that there's better coordination?
That is my hope for that through the chair, Mr. Green.
All right, thank you. Could you remind me what the date was of that outage so I can include that in my motion?
Through the chair, that was March 5th, Mr. Green.
Oh, yesterday. Okay.
It was a very busy morning.
Yeah, no problem. So there, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
Yes, Kyle.
All right. I'd like to make a motion to have the OMO inform the ALMR Executive Council the safety concern of an uncoordinated outage with GCI services that occurred on March 5th.
And would you like to amend that motion to include to send a letter to GCI?
Let's see here. I'll amend it to add on the N and to encourage. I'm writing this as I'm.
Yeah.
I'll say it here in just a second. Does it have to be a letter? Can I say communicate? I guess we can discuss that.
Yeah, it's your motion.
Right. Okay.
Would you repeat your motion, please?
Okay, with the amendment. Okay, my motion then is to make, I make a motion to have the OMO inform the ALMR Executive Council of the safety concern of an uncoordinated outage with GCI services that occurred on March 5th, and to encourage the Executive Council to communicate with GCI this concern.
Thank you very much, Mr. Green. The motion is on the floor. At this point, I would entertain a motion to approve Kyle's motion.
This is Henry Cole. I'll second the motion as made. And if I can just add a comment, like for discussion, or do you want me to hold on to that?
Since you second, let me first it, then you second, and then now we're open for discussion, sir.
Okay. I guess it would be worth, I think it might be worth adding in the other telecommunications agencies up here, at least AT&T, Verizon, MTA, perhaps. The outage happened with GCI, but we rely on a lot of commercial services, I think. So a similar outage could happen on AT&T, for example, and it might just be worth expanding the scope of the communication. That's all.
Thank you, sir. Comments on Mr. Cole's discussion?
Mr. Chair, Kyle Green.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I agree with Mr. Cole's comments. I think something more directed to GCI is should be specific. I'm not sure if those communications have to, it's going to be public, but I'm not sure that that would be appropriate to distribute to the other vendors, and perhaps a separate ask should be made for kind of, contact base with those other vendors to share that concern. But I think GCI should be a specific outreach by the Executive Council. The other ones could be separated out. Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fessy. Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Reed would like to add something.
I actually had a question for Bruce Richter on this. Do you have any information on any oversight that CISA would have over TSP circuits within Alaska? The circuits that went down would fall under that heading.
Well, that's good to know. FCC is the regulatory authority for that, but I'd be happy to make that connection. And I'm also, does somebody have an email direct contact for Heather Handyside? She's a corporate communications director at GCI. And I fully support getting the executive council engaged, but I'm thinking there can be a little quicker action if we just I'll volunteer to compose a direct email to her. I'm just looking for that email contact.
Through the chair, Mr. Richter, this is Paul Fussy. I'll try and track down Heather's email. I don't have it at this time, but we can go offline and discuss that further.
Yeah, I'd be happy to follow up with you, because I know there'll be some kind of delay before the executive council is able to meet and take any action. And I think this is the kind of thing where just a little bit of direct communication may pay off. But the information on the TSP circuit and that going down is news to me. So I'd be happy to follow up on that as well.
And Bruce, Heather Handyside's email is just hhandyside@gci.com. So if I could get back to the discussion on the floor, Kyle made a motion. We had discussion regarding opening up to other telcos. There was no additional motion mentioned at this point to amend Kyle's just in discussion. We've voted on it as far as we just we had the first and a second on that motion. So the motion is still on the floor to have the executive council forward a email to just GCI. Are there any other discussions regarding that motion?
Bruce, was your suggestion to hold for the before we approach the EC, hold for a direct communication with Heather on this?
Negative. Don't hold anything that you're doing.
Okay.
I just was offering to just, you know, give an initial heads up and see if there can be a quicker resolution. But don't hold back anything that you're intending.
The EC doesn't meet until April, so.
Any further discussions regarding the motion? Henry, after the discussion, are you still, would you still like to discuss other telcos, whether we want to look at amending Kyle's or possibly another motion? Terry, am I still on?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I think I muted my mic and then spoke. I apologize. I think separating the two issues is fine. So GCI is obviously immediate or recent outage versus other ones that are theoretical. So I'm fine separating them out and proceeding with the one at hand for now. I'm happy to leave it there.
Thank you very much for the discussion. Any other discussion regarding the motion on the floor? Hearing none, can we just take a simple, does anybody oppose the motion on the floor? Hearing none, motion's approved. Paul, I'd like to turn this over to you for next steps regarding that motion.
That'd be perfectly fine with me, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Excellent. Any other new business?
Mr. Chair, Kyle Green again.
Yes, sir.
Does the Executive Council necessarily need a motion or initiative from us to do that outreach with the other telcos, or do we really, is the ALMR Operations Office able to do that outreach without an initiative from us?
Good question, Kyle. Is there anybody online that would like to answer that question?
John, we can just take it as an action item for the OMO.
Okay. I think that's a good idea to make sure that we encourage all telcos to communicate. And however we write that, hopefully it will be fairly strong, shall instead of could, you know, wording. With the example of a GCI, I think that's extremely appropriate, and I appreciate that, Sherry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Sherry, for that work. And then thank you to the OMO for taking that on.
Perfect. Any other new business? Again, floor is open for questions or comments, even complaints. Moving to the next agenda item, I can say that the next meetings are currently scheduled for April 3rd and then May 1st. And at this point, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
This is Kyle Green, motion to adjourn.
Thank you. And can I quickly get a second? John Rockwell will second it. Thank you very much, everybody. Enjoy your day.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Paul.